Ladies and gentlemen, please be outstanding for the arrival of the Mayor of the City of Mountain, Council of Ulster, taking their duties to the Calvatory.
Good evening. Almighty God, we beseech thee to Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessings upon this council, direct and prosper its deliberations, and to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve.
Amen.
Amen.
Melbourne City Council acknowledges that land it now occupies has a history that began with the indigenous occupants of Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people, their elders and descendants, past and present. Thank you. Please be seated. Apologies and leave of absence.
There are no apologies this evening, Mr. Mayor.
Changes to the order of business.
Mr. Mayor, I rise to move the items 13 and 14 on the agenda as printed be heard together, with the councillors having up to 3 minutes and the Mayor up to five.
Thank you. Moved by Councillor Ramsay.
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Mirlik. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Changes to the order of business. Sorry, deputations.
No deputations, Mr. Mayor.
Declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest, or conflict of interest of any councillor.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I wish to move a procedural motion that later in tonight's meeting at item 19, confidential business, and specifically 19.1 of the agenda, municipal audit committee meeting minutes, for reason of a conflicting personal interest in one of the matters that discusses legal advice. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Six, adoption and confirmation of minutes of previous meetings.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of Council held on 30th of April 2018 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick. Do you have a seconder?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to second that.
Seconded by Councillor Ramsay. Move by Councillor Medlick, seconded by Councillor Ramsay. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? And declare the motion carried.
Back before that.
No, Mr. Yeah. That's better. Thank you. Record of Assembly of Councillors 7.1.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Record of Assembly of Councillors. That the Record of Assembly of Council is dated the 13th of October, 6th of February 2018, 18th and 30th, and April 2018, sorry, my 7th, 14th and 21 May 2018, attached to this agenda be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor. We should have a seconder.
Just goes to show IT is not the way to go. Paper's always the best. I'd like to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Ramsay. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Correspondence inwards. Only one item of correspondence inwards from the Honourable Jacinta Allen, Minister for Major Projects and Minister for Public Transport, regarding our concerns over commuter car parking in Caroline Springs, contained in the letter. She acknowledges our ongoing concerns for commuter parking at Caroline Springs Station, and she's passed on her letter to Transport Vic for advice. Also, she states that coming up in the state budget, 2018-19 budget will provide a further $60 million for new and upgraded station car parks, more secure storage facilities for cycling, and better access for pedestrians at busy metropolitan stations. More information is available online. And also, as part of the Ballarat line upgrade, a new station will be built at Toolan and Rockbank station will be rebuilt. These projects may help to alleviate the pressure on Caroline Springs station. You can find detailed information once again at Regional Rail Revival Package online at it's in your notes there. Yep, I'll have a mover to accept the correspondence.
I'd like to move the recommendation, Mr. Mayor, that the letter from the Honourable Jacinta Allen MP addressed to the Mayor be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have a seconder?
Mr. Mayor, I would like to second. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kesich. Moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. Section 9, petitions and joint letters. Mr. Torrey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A petition was received at the office, signed by 44 recipients, requesting Melton City Council overturn its decision to restrict parking in Wylie Circuit and Forest Street, Burnside Heights, and come up with an alternative, or with alternative solutions that are amicable to both residents and road users.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that the petition relating to parking restrictions Wylie Circuit and Forest Street, Burnside Heights be received.
Thank you, Councillor Moodlick. Do you have a seconder for the motion, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to second that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Moved by Councillor Moodlick, seconded by Councillor Abushi. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Section 10, resumption of debate or business carried over from a previous meeting.
There are no matters carried over from the previous meeting, Mr. Mayor.
Number 11, public question time, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have a number of public questions this evening, albeit that there are a number of them on a common topic. When we come to that topic, I propose to read all the questions and have a single answer, because otherwise it will become quite repetitious. But those will come up a little later in public question time. First question is from Robert Nielsen, and Mr. Nielsen is in the gallery. His question reads, it has been in excess of 8 weeks since a notice was given about advertising posters on posts and traffic lights, and there has been no action to remove many of them. What are council doing about this visual vandalism, and how soon before action is taken? The second part of the question is, I have also reported graffiti on council assets, and again, weeks have passed and no action taken. How can this be speeded up? It seems Melton South is always on delay. Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager Planning and Development, will respond.
Thank you, Bob, for your question. As I pointed out, I think two council meetings ago, council local law officers do remove signs from light poles, etc., when they're advertising garage sales and the like. We do those as we notice them, so we don't have a concerted effort of specifically going around to remove those, but as our officers see those, we remove them. I would encourage you, because your question is quite general, if you do have specific locations that you're concerned about, if you could provide those details through our customer service team. In relation to the graffiti issue, you'll be aware that we do have an in-house graffiti removal team, and that's been an initiative that council put in place around about 3 to 4 years ago. The team aims to remove graffiti on public land within 14 days, so 14 calendar days, or if it's offensive, within 2 working days. Again, your question's quite general, and you're alluding, I think, to some graffiti that you feel may have been there longer on public land as distinct from private land. Again, I'd encourage you, rather than waiting for a monthly council meeting, to again report that if you feel it's not being addressed in a timely way. But I do specifically wish to state, though, that Melton South is treated exactly the same as any other area in the municipality, and it certainly doesn't have a lower level of service. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, quick clarification. Just in response to Shannon's reply there, I come in with a piece of paper with the actual locations listed on the piece of paper to the reception, and 8 weeks later, none of those locations have been appended to.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Bob, if you'd like to talk to me personally, rather than necessarily raising it at a council meeting, you can feel free to contact me at any time with details, the specific details, and I'll have it addressed. Thank you.
Thanks for raising that, Bob, and please, please raise any issues like that directly.
The next question, Mr. Mayor, is from Charlene Attard. Is Ms. Attard in the gallery? Yes, okay. Question reads, if our Strathpella estate gets rezoned to residential and I don't wish to subdivide my 5-acre property, how will this affect our rates? Also, what will our restrictions be under the residential zoning, e.g. having farm animals, horses, sheep and chooks? As I said earlier, there are a number of questions along a similar theme, so I do propose to go through them all and then have Mr. Shannon give one collective response. The second one is from Joe with no surname, so I don't know whether Joe is here. Right, okay. There is someone trying to change the zoning in Strathpella from green wedge to low density residential living. What will the council do to stop this from going ahead? And secondly, what will the council do to protect Green Wedge? The third question along this theme is from Jessica. And okay, Jessica's also in the gallery. It says, hi, I have some questions about the proposed rezoning of Strathpella. What is the council's opinion and views on the proposal of removing Green Wedge, and what is the council going to do to help us and support us to protect the Green Wedge zone? The next one is from Cheryl Zammit, and is, yes, okay, in the gallery also. And it reads, what are the council's opinions and views on the proposal of removing the Green Wedge zoning? And secondly, residents who currently have animals such as horses, sheep, cows, pigs, etc., will they still be able to keep them under new zoning? And if so, what are the restrictions? Next one is from Ian. So Ian is also in the gallery. In regards to the proposed rezoning of Strathpella, what is the process to rezone the area, and does the application need to go through the Melton Shire Council? Or can the process be bypassed and lodged direct with the Supreme Court? Excuse me. And the final one on this theme is from Yusuf Saib, okay, is in the gallery. I recently received... Oh, no, sorry, that's on a separate subject. So, Mr. Shannon will now give a general response to those questions.
Thank you, everyone, for your questions. Just by way of background, and I'm sure as landowners you're well aware of much of this, but the Strathpella estate was subdivided around about 15 years ago, and it was subdivided to the maximum potential that it was able to be subdivided at that time. And that involves a mixture of lots that are generally around about 1.5 hectares or 2 hectares, right up to 20-plus hectares, particularly down on the Greggs Road area. And as I said, the owner of the time subdivided the estate into the maximum number of lots that could be achieved. Since that time, the Green Wedge zone has been formally introduced by the state government and applied right around outer metropolitan Melbourne, and as you correctly point out, the Strathalla Estate and much of the surrounding areas actually within the designated green wedge, particularly that area to the south heading down towards Exford. To the north of Strathalla is within a future residential area. The proposal to which you refer has got nothing to do with council, nothing whatsoever. You would have received possibly a flyer through the mail in recent weeks from a consultant representing one specific landholder within the estate, who happens to be the original subdivider, seeking to engender, I think, support from other residents within the estate to try and press for more intensive residential subdivision. As I've stated again, that has nothing to do with council. Council does not at this time support or otherwise the proposal. We've had no involvement whatsoever. In the event that the proposal to further subdivide the land is further pursued by that landowner to which I alluded, that would require council support. So no rezoning can take place without council support. And in fact, it goes one step further. Because the land is within the green wedge zone, it would actually require approval through both houses of state parliament, so it's a pretty big ask to get the land rezoned. In relation to the issue of animal keeping, which I think was raised in a couple of questions, the part of the reason why the ability to keep a whole range of animals within the estate is because the lots are quite large. And obviously, if the lots were subdivided into smaller acreage, there would most likely be tighter control over the ability to keep that range of animals and certainly the number of those animals. But that's getting way ahead of the situation because at the moment the land is within the green wedge zone and it cannot be further subdivided at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. So I hope that's clear. Next question is from Yusuf Sabe, who's in the gallery. And it reads, I recently received a fine for parking my vehicles on the nature strip in front of my house and was just wondering why my cars were the only ones that got fined, although all of my neighbours who had their cars parked on their nature strips received no fine. In responding to this matter, this is really something that should be dealt with rather than through public question at council, through the review process that council has in place for all infringements. We have a review that accords with the Attorney General's best practice guidelines on reviewing infringements, and it takes into account all the relevant factors and facts in the matter. And I'm not sure how you know that the other cars weren't fine. I presume it's from here, some corroboration from your neighbours, and they may or may not be advising you correctly. But anyway, we will put this through the review process and you will be contacted in that regard. Next question is from Mr. David O'Connor, and he is in the gallery. In accordance with a document published by Melton City Council entitled House Rules, Housing Character Assessment and Design Guidelines, front fencing within the garden suburban area of Diggers Rest is required to be low or transparent, of picket, brick or metal, not exceeding 1.2 metres in height. Currently, many homes in Diggers Rest have fences installed which appear not to comply with this standard. Would council please provide some clarification for those wishing to exceed the maximum height threshold? And again, Mr. Shannon will respond.
Thank you, David, for your question. Firstly, I'll point out that the guidelines to which you refer are not retrospective, so they do not apply to any existing fence. The guidelines also do not apply to the new growth areas within the Diggers Rest Township, particularly the Bloomdale and St Genevieve estates. They're controlled through the approved precinct structure plan that applied to that area, and that was developed a number of years ago. Where the guidelines would apply is in a situation where the need for a planning permit has been triggered within the existing established area of Diggers Rest, and that would typically be through the likes of a unit development. If there was a proposal put forward in that regard, then we would have expectations in terms of how the fence would be developed as part of that overall future development of that particular site. Thank you.
The second question from Mr. O'Connor reads, just last week there was some media commotion regarding a library gender ban around the use of the terms girl and boy. It was reported that some Victorian councils may consider the removal of some classic publications like Thomas the Tank Engine and Winnie the Pooh from their library and learning hubs. For the purpose of clarification, would Council please provide some information regarding Council's position on this issue? And Murray Heaney, General Manager, Community Services, will respond.
Thanks, David, for your question. To be straightforward, there'll be no book bans from us, and children will continue to have access to childhood classics, a couple of which you've quoted in your question. And that, most importantly, will be from our two existing libraries within the city. And saying that, Council is very committed to ensuring a balanced library collection in our facilities that provides access to a wide range of reading material for children. And this will continue to include classic titles together with modern stories that show experiences beyond gender stereotypes. Thanks, David.
The next question is from Louise Dunsellen, who's in the gallery. Question reads, car parking assessment must assess the car parking demand likely to be generated by proposed use or increase to an existing use. The likelihood of multi-purpose trips within the locality, which are likely to be combined with a trip to the land in connection with the proposed use, the variation of car parking demand likely to be generated by the proposed use over time, the availability of public transport in the locality of the land, and their particular provisions in clause 52.06. As there are 20 car parks detailed on the plan at 171 to 197 Harkness Road, Melton, and an overflow car park which can accommodate 30 extra car parking spaces, as per the ratio of 0.3 by 60 people attending equals 20 car parking spaces, on the plan there is at least accommodation for 50 car parks, therefore catering to at least 180 people. Please explain how the above bullet points have been evaluated for the planning application of 171 to 197 Harkness Road, Melton, in relation to clause 52.06, car parking demand assessment. So Mr. Shannon will respond.
Thank you, Louise, for your question. I think you're referring to the place of assembly planning permit application that was considered by council at the last council meeting and deferred, subject to enable further issues to be considered, particularly in relation to the soil type at that location. In relation to the car parking that you refer to in your question, there's specific requirements under the planning scheme, particularly ratios that apply, which dictate the minimum number of car parking spaces that can be that must be applied in an application such as this for a place of assembly. The application itself is to provide the capacity for 60 worshippers at the site, and regardless of how many car parking spaces are provided, were a permit to be issued, and I stress were a permit to be issued, there would be a requirement that the number of worshippers does not exceed 60. Thank you.
Second question from Dursaline is, Council has not adequately considered water usage in the mosque. When a large number of worshippers perform ritual ablutions before each of their five daily prayers, this has noticeable impact on both fresh water usage and sewage. The planning application makes no reference to these special circumstances. Property 171 197 Harkness Road currently has no sewage on it and would need to have a septic. Council should reject the application and require the applicant to provide an assessment in respect to planned water use, conservation of drinking water and treatment of sewage. With many large-scale sewage treatment systems or large-scale septic systems, the standard of treatment needed can often be higher than normal. This is because larger volumes of effluent entering groundwater or surface water can have a bigger impact on water quality. This also affects the soil heave known as sinkholes. There is water continually seeping in between the mud, rocks and minerals as it makes its way down to the groundwater reservoirs. As this happens, the water slowly erodes the rocks and minerals. Sometimes the flow of water increases to a point when it washes away the underground structure of the land, and when the structure becomes too weak to support the surface of the earth, it collapses and opens up a hole. Sinkholes are currently happening in Harkness Road. What measures, permits have the council taken into consideration to this planning application to avoid excess water entering into the soil, seeing as the area is vulnerable to sinkholes? Again, Mr. Shannon to respond.
Thank you, Louise, for your question. You may recall from the last council meeting that council deferred consideration of the application to, amongst other matters, enable an expert report to be prepared in relation to the soil conditions at that site. That report will in part address the issues that you raise in terms of potential soil heave and the like. Council will also consider, as we do with any application in a rural environment like that where there's no reticulated sewage available, the issues of waste effluent and how that might be managed. So that will again be part of the consideration of the application when it comes back before council in due course. Thank you.
And the final question this evening, Mr. Mayor, is from Ralph Schumann, who is in the gallery. His question has two parts. Part one, can council please advise in which local paper and on which date the planning application PA2017/5728 for a Melbourne Islamic Centre and Mosque on Harkness Road was advertised? And second part is, can council please inform residents what steps council has undertaken to ensure the applicant is a legitimate religious organisation in compliance with the Corporations Act, which form of Islam the applicants intend to bring into the Melton community? Again, Mr. Shannon, to respond.
Thank you, Ralph, for your question. In relation to the advertising of the application, I'll need to take that question on notice. When we write to you in response to your question, we will give you details of where and how the application was advertised. In relation to the second question about the form of religion and so forth, council actually has a planning permit application for a place of assembly before it. What religion that may be practiced as part of that is not a matter that council can consider. It's an application for a place of assembly, and it's on that basis that council will consider the proposal in due course. Thank you.
That concludes public question time, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Tory.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, can I just seek some personal clarification? In an earlier item in regards to the record of assembly of councillors, I declared a conflict on what date was it? The 14th of May on item number 2, Odyssey House headspace briefing. I know it's on the back, but I just want to. I didn't declare it at the beginning of this meeting. Do I need to?
No.
It's not being discussed, but it was moved and seconded whilst I was in the room.
Yeah.
So do I need to make a declaration at this point?
Well, two matters. One is you can't make a retrospective declaration.
No.
However, you can have it recorded that you did report to the meeting the fact.
Well, can
interest.
I have it reported to on the 14th of May 2018 that I recorded a conflict of interest on item number 2 and I left the room accordingly.
Okay. That's right.
Mr. Mayor. I was on the same day, declared a conflict also, and it is written here on the back that on the 14th of May that I actually left the room for a conflict of interest.
Well, similarly noted.
I just want it noted if I can.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Presentation of staff reports. 12.1.
Mr.
Authorising the fixing of the common seal.
could I please move a procedural motion that we move the following items in block and accept their recommendations as printed. These items are 12.1, 12.2, 12.3, 12.5, 12.7, 12.12, 12.19 and 12.20. Anyone else keen to put in an item they want blocked?
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey.
I'm happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Medlick, that these items be moved in block. Is any councillor opposed to the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Okay, we'll move on to item 12.4, response notes of motion 534, a community educational and awareness campaign around council's local law relating to animal control.
Mr. Shannon.
Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This report seeks to respond to the notice of motion from the 5th of February ordinary meeting of council. The notice of motion is reproduced on the bottom of page 96 and the top of page 97. I don't propose to read it completely, other than to say it relates to the opportunity to raise community awareness around council's local law regarding dog management in public areas, and also increasing the local law officer presence in those areas to ensure that pet owners are being responsible. Mr. Mayor, the report provides some background about our current activities in this regard and also draws to Council's attention that we do have a significant number of parks in the municipality, something in the order of 300 parks and recreational areas. Some of the key public areas where we officers receive the majority of complaints about dogs not being under control or not being managed properly, particularly from the areas such as Baronia Drive Park, Hannah Watts Park, Lake Caroline, Navan Park and the Melton Botanic Gardens. Mr. Mayor, it's proposed as part of our, effectively as our business as usual operations within our local laws team, that we embark on a community educational and awareness campaign around council's local law, particularly in relation to residents carrying the appropriate receptacles for dog waste, and that dog owners continue to manage their dogs in a responsible manner, and we would do that through media releases and the like, also through investing in portable handheld microchip readers which can be used out on site to ensure that dogs are registered, and also providing some incentive to owners through the provision of doggy bag containers and leads which would be branded, and we'd undertake that as part of an ongoing education program throughout the municipality, particularly those high profile sites that I referred. So, Mr. Mayor, the recommendation is as presented on page 96. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any council require any further clarification? Do you have a mover to the motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move this and also commend the council officers for a great recommendation.
Moved by Councillor Medlick. Do you have a seconder for the motion?
I would like to second, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. And 12.6, response to notice motion 550, options available to improve parking arrangements in the Esplanade Caroline Springs. Mr. Shannon again.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This report seeks to respond to a notice of motion from the 26th of March ordinary meeting of Council, where Council resolved that officers provide a report to Council on options available to improve parking arrangements in the Esplanade at Caroline Springs. Mr. Mayor, the Esplanade is quite close to Lake Caroline. It's effectively on the east and south side of Lake Caroline, and it's a relatively busy road. It carries around about 4,000 vehicles per day, which is probably slightly more than it was intended to carry. Part of the reason for that is that the Westwood Drive Bridge, or the Westwood Drive link, has not yet been completed. However, I'm pleased to be able to advise Council that will finally be completed early in the new year. That will, we hope and expect, relieve some pressures in terms of traffic volumes from the Esplanade. The notice of motion more particularly relates to the car parking activities within the street rather than the volume of traffic. So officers have undertaken an assessment of the existing car parking arrangements within Lake Caroline, and if I can, within the Esplanade, and if I can refer councillors to the two plans on page 152 and 153. You need to effectively join those plans together in your mind because it's such a large area, it covers two plans, and that the plan seeks to show all available on-street parking, both indented and also parking available at the curbside. The assessment that's been undertaken by officers is summarised on page 150, and there were three particular times where the assessment was undertaken to try and get a cross-section to indicate how much parking was actually available within the street. The first one was undertaken on a Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock, the following one a Friday in the evening at 7:30, and the following on a Sunday at midday. And you can see from the table, particularly the two right-hand columns, that there was, at each of those times, actually a significant number of free car parking spaces available within the street. The street is a very long street, so there may have been some areas where there car parking was fully utilised, and that's again shown on the plans, whereas in other areas not so. Mr. Mayor, part of the reason for there being indented car parking available in the first place is that the Esplanade is part of the town centre of Caroline Springs, and it was always envisaged that it would be developed for high density residential purposes, and that's been achieved. That may mean in some cases that individual landowners can't get a space available directly outside their property, but they do have one generally within 50 metres, and they would typically also have considerable on-site parking. So accordingly, Mr. Mayor, it's recommended that Council not undertake any construction of any additional car parking spaces in the short term. I do, however, intend to write to all owners and occupiers within the Esplanade to advise them that the issue of car parking has been raised as a concern, to ensure that they cooperate with their neighbours effectively to ensure that it can be managed in an appropriate way. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does any Council require further clarification?
Mr. Mayor, if there's no questions for clarification, I'd like to propose an alternate recommendation, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
Yep. Mr. Mayor, very similar to the original recommendation, so I'll read it from the start, and my recommendation or my proposed alternate will follow. That council note the site investigations and car parking occupancy surveys that indicate there is ample parking available for visitors and residents and no issue with vehicle movements through the Esplanade, and that Council issue letters to residents at the Esplanade Caroline Springs with information on parking arrangements, local laws requirements, and anything else deemed necessary by Council officers in relation to parking and traffic management matters.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. The alternate motion moved by Councillor Bushy. Do I have a seconder for the alternate motion?
I'm happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Medlick. Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Medlick. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion, I declare the motion carried. Sponsor notes motion 556, Council to identify potential space for women's sheds. Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This was raised at the ordinary meeting of Council back on the 26th of March 2018, and it was a notice of motion, and it was raised by Councillor Kesich at the time. And it reads that Council officers explore the options and bring back a report to Council on the potential spaces for a woman's shed or sheds, focus on Caroline Springs and Melton, but not limited to these two townships, was the wording. So the report tries to detail an overview of those sheds, or specifically spaces related to women's opportunities. So just to give a very quick update, Mr. Mayor, the Council provides a range of community development, health and wellbeing initiatives and programs for the communities. And Council currently owns and operates three neighbourhood houses in the municipality. and they are Hillside Community House, Stevenson's House in Caroline Springs, and Taylor's Hill Neighbourhood House or Community Centre. Most importantly, the programs that are operated out of these facilities are implemented in consultation with interested community members or groups, and in this case, maybe women. And they are supervised and overseen by council staff that are specifically employed to operate these houses and learning programs, if you like, within these facilities. And over and above that, it gives you an indication that 424 programs were delivered. And if you look at the attendances, it's in excess of 4,500. We do receive 127,000 from the state government to assist us to operate those facilities. It doesn't cover all operational costs, but it assists with part of it. It should also be noted that the council, although of name three, there are another two neighbourhood houses in the Melton Township. Although council don't manage or operate those, council provides the infrastructure in the way of the facilities for other organisations to operate those, and they're situated in Melton South and the Melton Township. In regards to future, it's important also that as part of our capital program at the moment, we're designing to tender out two additional facilities and replace an existing one that will facilitate more activation as far as hub activity or neighbourhood house programs or community programs. And they're due for completion in 2019 would be the, what's known as the current gen hub. And that's funding we received from the state government to assist us to do that in partnership with the primary school. And also in the east in Fraser's Rise, a new community hub down there, which will be an integrated children's community centre with a neighbourhood house focus. And that will be in excess of a $9 million initiative once delivered in that new development. I suppose the most important part to address the notice of motion or the intent for Councillor Kesich and the council is the council has opportunities or spaces that exist in our current neighbourhood house facilities, if you like, or community facilities such as those ones that I indicated previously in this report. There is potential facilities other than those that could be provided or have spaces available, and they're nominated on page 166. The three I've just spoke about, but also Raglan Cottage, which is just in the High Street here, opposite the current Civic Centre office. And it's also, we have 27 council-owned facilities that we book out, if you like, spaces for women or families or anyone that has opportunity to activate those spaces. Should be noted with those 27, though, that there's a lot of agreements in place currently, whether they're for 3 months, 6 months, weeks, or annually, that are currently in place, so that would take some time to have a new model explored in those spaces, but there's plenty of out there. We believe the best way to do that is in consultation with, I suppose, the similar neighbourhood house program and have that under some form of supervision with our staff. That would be best to explore those opportunities for women to utilise those spaces. So, Mr. Mayor, hopefully I have addressed the notice of motion or the intent from Councillor Kesich. And the recommendation, really, Mr. Mayor, is just to note this report.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Councillor Ramsey.
And I apologise, I was unwell last week, so I didn't get to the briefing. We're talking about women's sheds, and there's neighbourhood houses out there,
And
I understand that. There may or may not be spaces for them. Going forward, I'd like to think that we had the availability of one of those, whether it be neighbourhood houses or one of our, to be able to have regular meetings. The men's shed, are they charged for?
Men's sheds, yeah. The participants pay a fee.
They do?
As so do the participants in the neighbourhood houses.
Is that yearly or?
Oh, it varies on what programs they're running week to week or annually, but
okay.
It's not I don't believe it's an annual subscription. It depends
so
on what they're
could
operating.
We get a similar setup for, is there anywhere within the city of Melton today where a women's shed program And what that entails will be decided upon by the participants, could be conducted as of today or tomorrow.
I think that's what the report said, that there's plenty of opportunities with spaces, if I can just call it that at the moment, in existing facilities. Yeah.
Okay. So on a regular basis?
Is there on a regular basis.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, that may be not 5 days a week, but it may be, you know, that's a discussion that needs to be happened with the women's group.
But so they may be able to have it at 9 a.m. every Tuesday for the next 12
Absolutely.
Months. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Does any other councillor require further clarification?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, sorry.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, is it possible to advertise this more broadly amongst the residents in the City of Melton so that whoever wants to attend can attend, and it could potentially be rotated? But I think there's also a possibility or an opportunity to engage other groups to participate in this great initiative.
Yeah, happy to take that on board.
There being no further clarification, do I have a mover for the motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I would be happy to move this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kesich. Moved by Councillor Kesich. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to second that.
Seconded by Councillor Mendez. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. 12.9, response to notice of motion 560, Carlin Springs Public Wi-Fi. Mr. Bean.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I present to Council the report as stated, the response to notice of motion 560, which was presented by Councillor Bushy to Council and subsequently adopted by the Council, requested a report on the potential implementation and cost of a free public Wi-Fi service within the open space immediately surrounding Lake Caroline at the Caroline Springs Town Centre, and it be similar to what is provided at the Melton Town Centre and the Atherston Regional Play Space. The information sought is aligned to Council's public internet policy, which it adopted in August of 2017, which is to promote free access to a range of knowledge, information, recreation, ideas and lifelong learning opportunities to build social connections and self-development. Council is currently implementing public Wi-Fi within the Melton Town Centre as part of its Pride of Melton Streetscape upgrade project and is expected to become operational by the 30th of June 2018. In addition, through Council's joint venture with Lendlease Communities in Atherston, Lendlease has introduced public Wi-Fi in a significant number of parks and recreational facilities, which includes the regional play space. The Town Centre Lake at Lake at Caroline Springs could be argued as being a regional destination based solely on the number of visitation and activities, both passive and active, that occur there weekly. Visitations appear to be consistent all year round and certainly is recognised as being one of the most popular destinations in the Eastern Corridor of the municipality. The broad range of activities and activation of the space reflect all the key elements that are set out in Council's public internet policy. An amount of $125,000 would be required to undertake the works proposed based on discussions with Council's contracted telecommunications provider, but with the advances in technology about to be brought to market, the capacity to deliver this initiative in 6 months' time effectively sees the cost of installation halved. There is no specific budget allocation in the draft 2018-2019 budget document for such a project. It is therefore recommended the Council consider the allocation of a project budget of $60,000 in its 2019-20 budget process for further consideration at that time for the implementation of a public Wi-Fi service within the immediate vicinity of Lake Caroline and along Caroline Springs Boulevard between the Esplanade and Commercial Road. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any Council require further clarification? Do I have a mover for the motion?
I'd like to move that, please, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by...
I'd like to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Medley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Declare the motion carried. 12.10. Amendment C174 to Melton Plan Scheme Industrial Design Guidelines. Ms. Mellon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this report is to consider the adoption of Planning Scheme Amendment C174 to the Melton Planning Scheme, which seeks to implement the recommendations of the City of Melton Industrial Design Guidelines. The Industrial Design Guidelines were adopted by Council at the ordinary meeting of the 4th of April 2016, and a copy of the guidelines are contained at Appendix 2. Also at the April 4th meeting, Council resolved to seek authorisation from the Minister for Planning to commence the amendment and exhibit the amendment to implement these guidelines into the planning scheme. Council officers then worked with State Government to prepare the amendment documents, which included a new local policy, and submitted the relevant documentation to the Minister for Planning seeking authorisation. An authorisation was granted. Amendment C174 amends the Melton Planning Scheme by inserting a new planning objective related to creating industrial areas which are attractive and desirable places in which to work and do business at Clause 21032, and inserting a new clause at 2115 Industrial Design Guidelines to give effect to the City of Melton Industrial Design Guidelines, March 2016, as adopted by Council. The Planning Scheme Ordinance is contained at Appendix 3 to this report. The amendment following authorisation from the Minister was placed on public exhibition from the 27th of March to the 27th of April 2018, and was advertised through a range of media as detailed on page 174 of this report, including a brochure sent out to all owners and occupiers directly affected by the amendment, and a copy of this is contained at Appendix 4. And it should also be noted that this brochure also includes reference to Amendment C188, which is subject to a separate report in this agenda. Two submissions were received on the Industrial Design Guidelines Amendment. One was a letter in support of the amendment from Transport for Victoria. The second submission was received from the Environmental Protection Authority for Victoria, or the EPA. They requested a number of changes to be made to the local policy, but council officers have advised them that those requested changes were actually dealt with under other provisions within the planning scheme, specifically Clause 5210, which deals with adverse amenity impacts. On this basis, the EPA withdrew their submission. Given there are no unresolved submissions, there is no requirement to ask that a planning panel be convened, and that council can now make a determination on whether to adopt or abandon the amendment. Should Council choose not to adopt Amendment C174, it will result in a lack of clear direction for Council officers in assessing future planning permit applications, and it would also mean that the Council's adopted document, namely the Industrial Design Guidelines, would not be implemented into the planning scheme, and this may impact the weight afforded to the guidelines in VCAT proceedings. It is therefore recommended that Council, one, adopt Amendment C174 to the Melton Planning Scheme as contained at Appendix 3, and to submit the amendment to the Minister for Planning for approval. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. Does any council require further clarification? In that case, can I have a mover for the motion?
I'd like to move the recommendation, Mr. Mayor, and commend LJ and the whole team for the incredible work that's been put there. One of the blights on our community is probably entrances where industrial zones are catered for, so, and this report caters for that beautifully. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do you have a seconder?
I'll second that. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. Amendment was C188 to the Melton Planning Scheme, Advertising Sign Design Guidelines. Ms. Mellon again. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this report is to consider submissions received to Amendment C188, which was run concurrently with the previous amendment, C174. Amendment C188 seeks to amend the Melton Planning Scheme to implement the recommendations of the Melton Advertising Signage Design Guidelines, which were adopted by Council at the ordinary meeting in September 18, 2017. At this meeting, Council also resolved to prepare and exhibit Amendment C188 to the Melton Planning Scheme to implement the recommendation of these guidelines. Council officers, in consultation with the Department of Environment, Land, Water and Planning, translated the guidelines into the Planning Scheme Ordinance to form part of the amendment, which is contained at Appendix 2. In summary, Amendment C188 seeks to amend the Melton Planning Scheme by inserting a new policy objective related to ensuring advertising signage supports business and contributes to an attractive image for the municipality, and that's contained in Clause 21032 of the Municipal Strategic Statement. Also seeks to insert a new clause at 2217 called Advertising Signage Policy to give effect to the City of Melton's Advertising Signage Design Guidelines. Council officers then sought authorisation to commence the amendment, which was granted by the Minister for Planning on the 2nd of February 2018, and it was placed on exhibition from March the 27th of March to the 27th of April 2018, and again, as with the previous amendment, was advertised in a range of media, which is detailed on page 235 of the agenda, including the brochure that was sent out to all owners and occupiers directly affected by the amendment. A letter of support for the amendment was received from Transport for Victoria. Two submissions opposed the amendment in some form, and one submission was critical of Council undertaking the project but did not specifically object to the amendment. So four submissions were received in total. The content of two of the submissions received is detailed in page 235 of the report, and basically they object to various parts of the amendment documentation. The table also includes council officers' response to those submissions, and as you'll note from the table, we propose not to change, to take on board any of the comments made, as it would undermine the intent of the adopted policy. As excuse me, is therefore recommended that Council 1 request the Minister for Planning convene a planning panel to consider the unresolved submissions in accordance with the Planning and Environment Act 1987, and secondly, authorise the General Manager of Planning and Development and the Manager of City Design, Strategy and Environment to negotiate and resolve issues that are raised during the planning process prior to the amendment being reported back to Council for consideration. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Mellon. Does any Council require further clarification? Do I have a mover for the motion?
Happy to move that, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Medley. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'm happy to second that. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
And Councillor Carley. Moved by Councillor Medley, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any Council oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. Item number 1213, planning application PA 2016/5381, construction of three double-storey dwellings at 12 Pulbara Avenue, Burnside.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move the following motion that is different to officer's recommendation. I'd like to move that Council A resolve to refuse the above application on the following grounds. 1. The proposal fails to respect or complement the established and preferred neighbourhood character of the area as outlined in the relevant state planning policies relating to housing, Clause 16, Council's Housing Diversity Policy, Clause 22.12, and Housing Character Assessment Guidelines. Number 2, the proposal does not satisfactorily address the objectives and standards of REZ code pursuant to Clause 55 of the Melton Planning Scheme with respect to neighbourhood character. 3, the proposal constitutes an overdevelopment of the site, and B, advise the applicants that it may more favourably consider a future planning application for no more than 2 dwellings on the land.
Thank you, Councillor Medley. Alternative motion by Councillor Medley. Do I have a seconder for the alternate motion?
I'd like to second it. Thanks, Mr. May.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Motion moved by Councillor Medley, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. 1214, planning application PA 2017.
Mr. Mayor,
Councillor Ramsay.
I rise to request an alternative motion. And That recommendation reads as follows. The Council resolved to refuse the above applicant on the following grounds. One, the proposal is considered an overdevelopment of the site, particularly the semi-detached double-storey dwellings, minimal separation between the dwellings, building form and a visual bulk of the dwellings creates the impression that the proposed dwellings are being squeezed onto the subject land. Two, the proposal does not satisfactorily address the objectives of and standards of res code pursuant to Clause 55 of the Melton Planning Scheme with respect to neighbourhood character. And three, the proposal fails to provide adequate and convenient car parking facilities for the proposed development, particularly lack of on-site visitor car parking and conveniently located car parking for dwellings 5, contrary to the Melton Planning Scheme. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Alternative motion moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder for the alternative motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd be more than happy to second that motion.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Alternative motion moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. Item 1215, planning application 2017/5864, use and development of the land for the purpose of telecommunication facility consisting of a 30-metre-high monopole with associated panel, antennae and an equipment shelter at 171-197 Harkness Road, Harkness. Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The council will recall that this application was considered at the last council meeting on the 30th of April, where the council resolved to defer consideration of the application until further expert advice had been received in relation to the potential of the land to be developed. The council also recalled that another application for a place of worship was considered at that same meeting and was deferred for similar reasons. Since that time, Mr. Mayor, council officers have sought further expert advice in relation to the use of the land, and the advice is that the development of the land for a telecommunications tower, which is the subject of this application, is possible and presents less concern from a geological perspective than, say, the other application for the place of worship. So therefore, there doesn't appear to be any impediment from that perspective in council determining the application. So therefore, Mr. Mayor, the application is, I guess, remitted to council for consideration. And I might just briefly summarise the application again. Council will recall that the land has an area of just over 10 hectares and it's located on the eastern side of Harkness Road in Harkness, and that the land currently contains a dilapidated dwelling and a number of other buildings. The surrounding area is essentially characterised as rural land. So the application in this case proposes the construction of a telecommunication facility consisting of a 30-metre-high monopole and associated antenna and equipment shelter. So the application was advertised, or notification was given, and no objections were received to the application. From an officer perspective, it's considered that the proposal essentially complies with Council's recently adopted communications infrastructure policy, it's not located in a visually sensitive location, and it's considered that it will blend with the surrounding area. In addition, the facility will be co-located with Optus and Vodafone, which is what the policy and the relevant code of practice encourages. So, Mr. Mayor, it's generally, as I mentioned, considered that the proposal complies with the planning scheme, complies with the relevant policy relating to communication infrastructure and the relevant code of practice in the planning scheme relating to these sorts of facilities. So therefore, Mr. Mayor, it's recommended that the application be supported and a planning permit be issued in accordance with the recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bajua. Does any council require any further clarification? Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not going to go over the 700-page document that Councillor Hardy or the discussion about unstable grounds and sinkholes. But this development of a tower is far enough away from roads and anything else that if something happens, or part B of that question is the engineering component to enable this tower to go up, catering for the ability that the earth around it may be unstable and may have sinkholes or prone to sinkholes.
For you, Mr. Mayor, the structural integrity of the facility isn't normally a matter that's considered as part of the planning application. It's normally something which is considered as part of the separate building approval. So that will ensure that the foundations are adequate, if you like, to accommodate the facility. In terms of your first question, in relation to if the pole did...
I can see it's 95 metres away from the road.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's fine. But if in future it comes down because it hasn't been adequate, the footing's not adequate, are we liable for any damage it may do? Or can we somehow now strengthen the conditions? Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I'll stand up. Can we somehow strengthen the conditions in the planning permit to make sure that it is... Once it's up there, it's not going anywhere.
No,
whether it's sinkholes or no sinkholes.
No, as I mentioned before, those sorts of issues aren't generally assessed as part of the planning application. There are other approvals that require that expert advice, if you like, and plans to be approved.
Just have it noted today's date and the fact that I queried that it may come down.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Medley.
Can I just clarify two things? That the applicant has actually got or had done a geotech survey, and also that the expert advice that we will be receiving in the future that Councillor Hardy suggested, Dr. Delhouse, his response, because I do believe we've asked him for his opinion and what his response was.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to answer that because I have met with Dr. Delhouse since the last council meeting. Dr. Delhouse, who prepared the original reports in the mid-1980s in relation to the wider area, including the cemetery site, future cemetery site and this site, indicated that in circumstances where there's particularly a change in the water management on individual sites, so in other words, if there's trees planted or there's lots of concrete aprons put in place, particularly around houses and any future subdivision, that can then have an impact on the underlying ground conditions. We specifically asked him about the proposal for a tower, and he was certainly not concerned about the ground conditions in the context that it's a very small structure, has a very small footprint on the ground. There's very little concrete around the structure. There might be a small shed. So to that extent, it won't have an adverse impact on the ground conditions. Having said that, as part of the building permit that will be required, as Mr. Baggio referred to, they will require structural engineer's approval, which will look at detail about the footings relative to the soil conditions, which will ensure that it is structurally sound. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Hardy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Just for the public record...
Oh, can you please put that away?
Right.
Is this a question, Councillor Hardy?
Just a question.
Not a statement.
I'd like to have it put on the record that expansive soils constitute a
hazards, that it must be considered within the context of the landscape, just as other geohazards are. Hydrology changes are one property at one may in one time result in deep-seated expansion and response on a neighbourhood property, being the cemetery. And if we are having a look at what they're going to put down, whether it's only footings or they're going to put a slab down, the prescribed standard for residential slabs and footings, AS 2870, 1996 and 211, and this is from Dr. Dalhouse, does not take sufficient account of the expansive soil geohazards as a whole of the landscape feature. These expansive soils constitute a geohazard that must be considered within the context of the landscape rather than the individual property. I'd like to have that noted.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Hardy.
Thank you very much.
Councillor Ramsey.
That was going to be my point of order.
He's That's okay. He's fine. Let's move on. Okay. Does any other councillor require clarification?
No. Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Bushy.
Be really quick. Firstly, I'd be very surprised, I'd be asking questions if council was, council officers were recommending a report to grant something and all these checks and balances weren't done. Secondly, in regards to some of the comments that Councillor Ramsey made in relation to a tower, the tower potentially, if it could fall, can I just ask, is there usually a requirement on public liability insurance with regards to this structure? Is there a requirement, a permit requirement or any requirement by an applicant to have such a structure and be made to have public liability insurance?
Mr. Baggio? Mr. Sean?
Sorry. Through you, Mr. Mayor, no, there is a requirement on private land. I think if it was located on council land, there would be. So if it was located on a council reserve, for example, there would be a requirement. But given that this is proposed to be located on private land, there is no legal need for it.
So you're saying the onus is then on the landowner?
Correct.
To ensure?
Yep.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bush. Appreciate you. Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Okay. Do I have a mover for the motion?
I'd like to move that, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by
myself.
Councillor
Thank Kessler. You.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Kessler. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion, I declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, can I call a division, please?
Division called by Councillor Ramsey. All those in favour of the motion, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kessich, Councillor Maidlett, Councillor Bushy, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Mendes. I always forget this one. Councillor DeSantis, sorry. Councillor Carley, Councillor Turner. We'll move on. I declare it carried. Thanks. 1216. Planning application 2018/6011. Construction of three single-story dwellings at 111 Caitlin Drive, Harkness. Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this report relates to a planning application for the construction of three single-storey dwellings on a property of 924 square metres on the corner of Buttercup Rise and Caitlin Drive in Harkness. So the lot is within a largely established residential area that's commonly known as the Macassar Rise Estate. If I could just take the councillors to Appendix 1, which shows the aerial photo, you'll notice that the area is a little bit hard to tell, but the area is essentially largely developed apart from the subject land, which is located on the corner, and a number of other abutting allotments which are currently vacant. It's worth noting that the council considered an application for the construction of three dwellings on a property at 107 Caitlin Drive, and that application was refused by council. So this application was advertised and four objections were received to the application. And the grounds of objection are around neighbourhood character, concerns that the proposal was out of character with the area, that the setbacks of the dwellings wasn't consistent with the rest of the street, traffic, parking and safety concerns, that it would set a precedent for more similar developments in the area, and property devaluation concerns. So in terms of the officer's assessment of the application, it's noted that it's a corner lot. Single-storey dwellings are being proposed, and it's considered by officers that the proposal, notwithstanding the fact that it's a medium-density proposal, is generally consistent with the purposes of the general residential zone and complies with council's policy in relation to character. The site's also reasonably placed in relation to existing services and facilities, including public open space, schools and community facilities. Just to differentiate this application from the other application at 107 that was refused by council, it's noted that the proposal is distinctly different in that the previous proposal included double-storey elements, whereas this proposal is essentially single-storey elements. So therefore, it's a lot less intensive from that perspective, and also the fact that it's on a corner site means that it lends itself to this type of development. So therefore, Mr. Mayor, it's recommended that the application be supported as per the recommendation in the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Badgell. Does any councillor require any clarification? Councillor Medlick.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to know, I looked through the proposed conditions on this particular application. It is a double story, I believe. Is that correct?
No.
Oh, because the pictures look like they're double stories. On page 464.
I think you've jumped a few pages.
Am I wrong?
No, that's the next.
That's the next one.
The next report.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Mayor.
You're dealing with two at once. Well done, Councillor Medley. We'll pay you double this week.
My apologies.
That's okay. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Okay. Do I have a mover for the motion? A mover for the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'll move that motion.
Thank you, Councillor Mendez. Moved by Councillor Mendez. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I would like to second it.
Thank you, Councillor Kasich.
You're welcome.
Is there any councillor to oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. Clause 17. Planning application, PA 2018. 6026/1, construction of a double-storey dwelling at the rear of existing single-storey dwelling at 2013 Western Highway, Rockbank. Mr. Badgell.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this application relates to a lot within the Rockbank township, which has an area of just over 600 square metres. And it's located on the south side of the service road that abuts the Western Highway. The land currently contains a single-storey detached dwelling, which is located in the front half of the site. The surrounding area is essentially residential in nature and is largely established. So the application essentially proposes the construction of a second dwelling on the property behind the existing house. Proposed is a double-storey dwelling. The existing single-storey dwelling is to be retained and modified to incorporate a new veranda and the like. The proposed dwelling is considered to be contemporary in design, and the existing vehicle crossover will be retained and widened to accommodate the new dwelling. The application was advertised in the normal manner, and 6 objections were received to the application. The grounds of objection are essentially around overshadowing concerns and loss of property values, concerns about that. So from an officer perspective, it's considered that the proposal is generally consistent with the relevant policies and planning scheme provisions, in particular the council's housing diversity strategy and also council's adopted housing character guidelines, and essentially complies with the objectives and standards of REST code under the planning scheme. It's a little bit unusual, Mr. Mayor, for the rear dwelling to be a double-storey dwelling. However, in this case, it's been designed in such a manner whereby the first floor has been recessed or articulated, and also the windows of the upper floor have been designed such that they'll prevent any overlooking to adjoining properties. So therefore, on that basis, Mr. Mayor, it's recommended that the application be supported. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Councillor Medley.
I hope I've got my question
you
right.
You got the right one this
time. Mr. Mayor, I know the last comment from Mr. Baggio was about the second floor not having any windows overlooking the neighbouring house, but however, is there anything in the conditions, if there were some windows that were overlooking the neighbours' houses, if there was some privacy glass or privacy screening or frosting on that glass?
For you, Mr. Mayor, not conditions as such, because it's already been addressed in the design, and it's mentioned in the officer comments on the objections that the windows, or the upper floor windows, are a combination of highlight windows, which are the ones that are 1.7 okay. metres high, or alternatively they've been frosted,
yeah.
have opaque glass.
Does any other council require clarification?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Councillor Hardy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. The question I ask is, given we're going to reduce the size of the footprint on the building box, is there already a provision for grey water? And if we do reduce the sizes down, is Western Water going to, as they have shown elsewhere, going to sign off and no longer supply?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, an application of this type isn't required to be referred to Western Water. There's no specific requirement for this type of development to be connected to recycle.
No.
No.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hardy. In the event of no further clarification, do I have a mover for the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I would like to move this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kessage. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick. Moved by Councillor Kessage, seconded by Councillor Medlick. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. Contract for award 18/038.
Mr. Mayor, Park
Construction.
Can I ask a recommendation to be put? Unless someone's really keen to hear it.
Councillor Lansley is moving the recommendation. Do I have a seconder for the recommendation?
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Medlick. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. It's done over to them block. What's I've got marked as 19, it's 9. 19 and 20. Let me find the only one I marked. Good. 12 and 13. There we go. Item 13 and 14. Reports from delegates point to other bodies. Councillor DeSantis. She doesn't like it when I remember her name. I know, I was...
Yeah.
Sorry, Councillor DeSantis.
Thank you. So, on a Saturday, the 4th of May, I attended Autism Plus Biggest Morning Tea for Cancer Research. Sunday, the 5th of May, I attended the Hillside Sharks Ladies' Day fundraiser. There was a lot of laughs, and I'd like to thank the club for a fantastic day. Sorry, I've got a cough lolly in my mouth just in case I sound a bit funny. Thursday, 17th of May, was the Ida Hobbit celebrations. I'd like to thank all the Mountain City Council officers for putting that together. It was a fantastic day. And also to the speakers and the guest speakers on the Q&A, which was fantastic. Friday, the 18th of May, I attended a community breakfast at Kirrup House in Mountain South. Saturday, 19th of May, was the Caroline Springs Hockey Club's Super Saturday event at Bridge Road Sports Precinct. Monday, 21st of May, was the YAC Grants and Awards panel evening. Tuesday, 22nd of May, was the Mountain Council Volunteer Week at Witchmount Estate Rockbank. Thanks to Mountain City Council officers for a wonderful night. And thank you to all our volunteers. Saturday, 26th of May, was a Diggers Rest Fire Brigade, the inaugural Great Ball of Fire fundraiser at Russo Estate in Diggers Rest. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor DeSantis. Councillor Curley.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, on the 4th of May, I attended the Autism Plus Biggest Morning Tea Cancer Research fundraiser. That was very well attended from all members of the community. The 5th of May, the Hillside Sharks Football Club Women's Day. It was actually a great afternoon for the club to say thank you to all the mothers that do so much work at the club and getting their kids to games on time. It's not that the fathers don't, but, it was a Mother's Day to say thank you. The 8th of May, I attended the Burnside Bears Football Club Women's Night fundraiser for breast cancer. The 24th, I attended the Road to Zero Steering Committee meeting, and I've just got a few notes, Mr. Mayor, if you bear with me. We discussed some opportunities to increase awareness for Crime Stoppers to report hoon activity for our members to make it, advertise that more. We spoke about Harmony Day, and we were told that there was 1,200 community members who attended on that day, and Harmony Day was a wonderful event at the Willows. I thought it was great, so, and it shows 1,200 community members who attended. Community Road Safety Forum, unfortunately the numbers were a little bit down from when we've previously held the forum, and if I could just stress how important this forum is, we will be having another one on Thursday the 30th of August. It will be at the Melton Library. The start time is 6:30 to 9. Please, if you have any young ones who are getting their learners or who are going for their licence, I urge you to attend this forum. And I also spoke, Mr. Mayor, because the numbers were a little bit down, I thought maybe it's time for such a good community road safety forum to go to the schools. So that's something that we're going to be looking at. We spoke about Safer City Day in Caroline Springs, and I've got some figures. There was 50 restraints installed, 240 anti-theft screws installed, and the feedback for the day was excellent. And, Mr. Mayor, on the 24th, I attended the Road to Zero... the 26th, the Diggers Rest Fire Brigade Masquerade Ball to raise funds for a new fire truck. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Mendez.
Throughout the last month, I've attended a number of community events that have really highlighted our community and the members within our gallery as well as the community. Volunteers Week at Russo Rash Restaurant was a fantastic evening, and it was great to see so many of the volunteers, which are in our gallery tonight, recognised for their wonderful work that they do on a regular basis. The Sons of the West graduation was fantastic to see that this program is continuing on, and even though numbers have slightly dropped, it's good to see that the health of males within this community is being promoted, and that there is a greater success rate with exercise and development in our community. Rotary Club Afternoon Tea, and it was fantastic to hear Les Twentyman speak. I'm sure our fellow councillors that were in attendance would agree that it was great to see youth within the western suburbs have such a great advocate speak highly of the programs that not just council run, but that are run within the western suburbs, and to have such a passionate person representing the youth of the western suburbs. Our citizenship ceremonies are always well attended, and it's great to see so many people within our community becoming citizens of this great city. Hearts of the Community Short Film Festival was great to see many people highlighted within our community that represent our neighbourhood houses. And over the last few Saturdays, on a number of occasions, I've been to watch the Caroline Springs Hobby Club perform, and I think it's great to see that they've actually started a juniors competition, and with a large number of juniors within our municipality participating in sports. Some have never played any sports before, and it's the first time that they've actually participated in any form of competition, and it's great to see that they were actually winning on many occasions, so I'm really impressed to see that this hockey club has actually got themselves up and running really well within the last 12 months.
Thank you, Councillor Mendez. Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I made it in time for the pizzas after the Western Base meeting to the heart of our community short film launch, but I have seen it on the internet since, and the volunteers that were actors in that short film need to be commended, and that's what makes the fabric of our community so great. Citizenship ceremony with Councillor Mendez and Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich, and our wonderful Mayor. Rotary Club of Caroline Springs, Les Tweedman, yep, he is an absolutely legend when it comes to our youth and mental health, and he needs to be commended, and I think he already has. The Mayor, Councillor Maidlick, and myself, I took part in a planning services review workshop. Don't know if the planners liked our feedback, but they've got it all the same. Ida Hobbit celebrations were absolutely fantastic. And can I take a moment to commend the ladies that did the artwork on the day? And they were so interactive. But all the guests that played a part were inspirational. But what we did, and I've forgotten the name of it, we got together, and it was like a rainbow of colours, and they had black and white, and then we all picked a colour, and they mixed it up in a bowl. Then Sandra's in our audience, threw the poured the paint on, and it was a group effort because everybody picked a colour. It stands the test of time, and they've feathered it out, and I hope it goes on pride display somewhere, that it was an absolute credit to you and your group. Thank you. The meeting with residents, Re Harkness Road. The Melton Council Volunteer Week. Our volunteers, and these are the only... We had about 150 there. They're not all the volunteers that work in the Melton City, but they're the ones that work the vital programs through the Melton City Council. And without these wonderful volunteers, a few of which are in the audience tonight, our former Citizen of the Year, Mr. Alan Perry, and others, those services could not happen. And I commend each and every one of you for that. The Diggers Rest Biggest Morning Tea. Where is he? He's over there in the corner, hiding, Mr. David O'Connor. 4,300, was it, in the end? And 15 cents was raised to go into producing books,
education and awareness of cancer and cancer sufferers. And I also want to make a special acknowledgement of the kiddies that do the before and after school care at the school that raised $212.15, something like that. I knew he was going to correct me, but thereabouts, you know, a couple of dollars here, a couple of dollars there. And I urge anyone that can donate something small, please do. And Councillor Hardy donated $50. Yes, we know that. Thank you, Councillor Hardy. The Sons of the West graduation ceremony. The only thing that was bruised was my back because I slipped, but I was picked up by Doug Hawkins, so that was a ploy. No, it wasn't. The 111 graduates are tried and true, and I hope they continue not only being leaders amongst the males in our community, but also keeping up their active, because a lot of them, we had one of them say they'd lost up to 60 kilos, and that's incredible. It tackles men's health from a different angle, and Leanne Christ. Am I the only one that gets timed?
No, we've gone 5 minutes already, so please. Oh. You want to sit down now?
Okay, no. The Diggers Rest Fire Brigade was fantastic. Can I just quickly say the Mayor's advocacy in regards to the Ballarat Railway line was absolutely on the money. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. So I've got another 5 minutes. I look forward to the Reconciliation Week afternoon tea this Wednesday, the Melton Goardi program. Get involved in the MSS workshops that are happening, and I look forward to seeing most of you at the Environmental Grants next month. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll be short. Okay. On May 3, the Mayor, myself and other councillors attended the citizenship ceremony here in Melton. That is always it's a special night for all, and including myself. On the 11th, Dr. Dalhouse to give a briefing to officers and whatever. He came down to Melton and he went in and gave the officers the required briefing. The 17th of May was Ida Hobbit celebration in Melton. Again, one of those special days where people do come out, regardless of whatever, they do join in. The 17th also Pitcher Partners for Social Procurement and Enterprise Melbourne. This is the modelling that the council at a later date will have to pick up on. And social procurement is not about just going out and requiring certain organisations to get on board. This is about people being involved. This is about people being engaged and maybe people being employed. May 18th, wrap up the budget, the VLGA response. 18th of May, Plumpton Road Diggers Rest, hypnotic comedy. Rather good night. People should have attended. 23rd, Adventure Melton Business Meeting, Caroline Springs Library. And I attended on the 24th, the contract course in Sydney. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Kissich.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just going to be really quick with this one. On 3rd of May, attended the citizenship ceremony, Melton Community Hall. The 5th of May, the first birthday of F45 Fitness and Training in Ravenhall. 11th of May, meeting with the residents of Rockbank in regards to advancement of business in their area.
Sorry, what was that?
Business.
Okay.
Thank you. On the 18th of May, meeting with the residents of Caroline Springs about development of particular land. And on the 23rd of May, Venture Melton Business Network meeting. Thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you, Councillor Kissich. Councillor Meadwick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Out of my committees, I attended the Lifelong Learning Festival project, and we are continuing to move along quite nicely with getting the project up and running. I also attended the MAB State Council and 70 two motions were brought forward to the MAB State Council. Relevant topics included public housing, electronic gaming machines, neighbourhood housing funding, increased funding for sports and recreation facilities, waste and recycling, and, Mr. Mayor, to my great delight, Corella maintenance. There was actually a notice of motion from one of the rural councils, and I was more than happy to second that. This means that the MAV will actually advocate to the state government in regards to the Corella maintenance issues that we have. I also attended the Western Base board meeting with Councillor Ramsey. I'd like to congratulate CEO Mark Corey at the Western Base. The board members have extended his contract for a further 3 years, and Mark's done a great job and very passionate whilst at the base. And his initiatives, he has initiated some exceptional projects during his tenure so far. We also spoke about the Google Computer Science for High School project, youth-based STEM squad, and the employment outcomes from the Ballarat Rail project. A few others, Les Twentyman was fantastic at the Caroline Springs Rotary fundraiser. What an amazing guest speaker. I've never actually heard him speak before. Very passionate about the cause of youth homelessness, and Les was very inspirational. I attended the Burnside Mother's Day afternoon tea, Melton Planning Service Review, Rockbank Volunteers Week celebrations at Witchmount, which was an amazing event to highlight the great achievements that our volunteers have done. I also attended Varcon Construction's biggest morning tea, which was for donating to breast cancer, which was a great outcome. Sons of the West graduation ceremony, always a wonderful treat, and the Westside Strikers Football Club Beyond Blue fundraiser. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Medley. Councillor Abishi.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Saturday the 5th of May, invitation to F45 Caroline Springs' first birthday and a resident meeting at CS Library regarding Lake Caroline. Thursday the 10th of May, Metro Western Resource Recovery Group Forum at Marriott Hotel with yourself, Mr. Mayor, and our Manager of Operations, Leslie Stokes. Wednesday the 23rd of May, Venture Melton Business Network at Caroline Springs Library. Thursday 24th, Varcon, Australia's Biggest Morning Tea. It's good to see our organisations and people that do business in the City of Melton supporting charities. I like that. Saturday the 26th, the Westside Strikers, Westside in Blue charity match to promote and raise awareness for mental health and wellbeing, supporting Beyond Blue. A quick acknowledgement. I'd like to acknowledge a young, passionate 21-year-old City of Melton resident by the name of Josip Herzog of Fraser Rise, who's recently gained media accreditation for the FIFA World Cup in Russia as a journalist. Josip is a shining example of the gifted young people we have in our city, someone we ought to recognise and support his efforts. Josip is being mentored by veteran TV journalist Peter Hitchener, and when I asked him how on earth did that come about, he said, "I sent him a message on Instagram not expecting a response, but to my surprise, not only did he respond the same day, but within a week he had me at the Channel 9 studios at Docklands learning and practising my news reading, a dream come true." Well done, Josip. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for representing us so well on 3AW the other day. That was really, really good. And I don't know about other councillors, but we're getting residents emailing us, and it was fantastic. So thank you for your efforts. I'd like to welcome Sam Romasco, Manager of Engineering Services, who commenced in our council. Welcome to the fold. I think after a week you'll work out that you've joined the greatest municipality and you'll wish you started here. But that's okay. We'll forgive you for that one. And engineering graduate Angus Gibbs joins and is doing a few rotations, I understand. Welcome to the municipality. And exceptional, Mr. CEO, that we're giving opportunities to young graduates from the City of Melton. So thank you for that. And that's all from me. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bishop. I'll highlight a few things. I'll start with the beginning of the month was started at the Reading Cinemas with a Heart of the Community film launch, which
educate everybody about our neighbourhood houses, and that was a great event to see a film that was actually made in our neighbourhood houses by our own teams. It was a really good display. On the 3rd, we had the citizenship ceremony here at the hall, and I think we had in the region of another 95 new citizens sign up on the night. But I'll put that away, and I'll just go through a few things from the month. I think most of the things the councillors have done, most of us have shared in one way or another. A few highlights of the month for me. We had a meeting with the treasurer at Lead West. It was actually a Lead West lunch. He talked well. He even mentioned Melton's Hospital for the future, not for now, and a few other things for Melton. He gave us an order of priority for hospitals, which is improving Footscray 1. Melton would come after that, and then Werribee, so hopefully it stays in that order at least. We had the opportunity to speak to him afterwards, and myself and Mr. Torrey, we made sure he knew all about Melton's Hospital. So at least we're getting to the right ears, I think. On the 14th of the 5th, we had a meeting with Brendan O'Connor in his office. From memory, myself, Mr. Torrey, Mr. Bean, and Kobina, who is Manager of Engagement and Advocacy. And he's doing a grand job for our council. We're really getting to the right people. The meeting started, to be honest, with Brendan O'Connor, and he didn't seem to engage at the beginning of the meeting. But after we talked with him for a while, and all the officers put in, by the end of the meeting, he was really on board, and he was trying to help us engage with other people who are important within the government. So we're looking forward to that, and I believe he's actually coming out to the Western Base. I'm not sure if it's late. Well, it must be next month now, near the end of the month. So we're looking forward to that so that we can get in his ear again. On the 17th of the 5th, we had the Ida Hobbit celebrations. We were raised the flag. It was a good afternoon. And yeah, we did do the painting of on the tiles as well. Last week, we had a really important event for our community, which was a volunteer week event at Witchmount Estate. And basically it was the volunteers in council who helped deliver our programmes, and who, without a lot of these volunteers, we wouldn't be able to deliver some of the programmes that they help us with. Or at least if we did, our rates would be a lot more. So we really take our hat off to these people who come out and get involved to help our community. Last week we had the launch of the launch of the report for the upgrade of the Ballarat line, which was in Newport, which was a bit of fun dressing up and getting pictures taken. And it went over well on the day, and we knew it went over well when we had some comments from the Premier on Friday saying we shouldn't be having these stunts. That was the word. We shouldn't be having these stunts. So we obviously hit the right ear. So it was a good week as far as that went. And also another great event last week that I attended was the Sons of the West ceremony. I attended with a few other councillors, and it was the graduation night for over 100 men who have taken part in this year's Sons of the West programme, which has been running since 2014. And a special thank you to Leanne, who runs the programme for council. That's fine for me. Thank you very much. We'll move on. Notice of motion, councillors. 15.1. Councillor Medlick.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that council officers prepare a report outlining options and costing for council to provide a permanent location for the Caroline Springs RSL sub-branch in or nearby the Caroline Springs area, in consultation with the Caroline Springs RSL sub-branch for the requirements needed for the dwelling.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick. Moved by Councillor Medlick. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I would like to second. Thank you.
Moved by Councillor Medlick. Seconded by Councillor Kissich. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, could I call for a division?
Division called by Councillor Medlick. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Mendez, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Carley, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kissich, Councillor Medlick, Councillor Bushy, Councillor Turner. I declare the motion carried. 15.2, Notes of motion 564, Councillor Bushy.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. That council officers explore options to introduce a food scrap recycling service for City of Melton residents and report to council. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Moved by Councillor Bushy. Do I have a seconder?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to second that and also commend Councillor Bushy. A lot of our waste is food scraps that can be recycled, so I commend him and I look forward to the report.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick. Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Medlick. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. I relinquish the chair over to Councillor Hardy for the 15.3.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. 15.3. You want to read the motion out?
I will, thank you. The motion is that Council write to the Minister for Roads advocating for the need for urgent works to improve the road safety at the intersection of Melton Highway and Leakes Road.
Is there a seconder for the motion?
I'd like to second that. Thank you, Mr. Chair. But if I may just add something, this was actually discussed at the Road to Zero meeting that we had last week, and I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe that this has already been done, and we were just waiting on a response. But I could be wrong. But I'm happy to second it, so I fully support it.
Through Mr. Mayor, I can clarify, I hope. Council has, over time, corresponded with Vic Roads on this intersection and a number of other key roads within the municipality. It is, I think, timely that we again correspond with Vic Roads due to their lack of action to date. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, having a mover and a seconder, is there any councillors opposed the motion? Okay, moved by Councillor Turner. Seconded by Councillor Lara. Sorry, Harley. Sorry, got it wrong. All those in favour, thank you very much. All those in favour, carried. I declare the motion carried.
Can I call for a division, Mr. Mayor?
Yes. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Turner, Councillor Lara Carley, Councillor Brewer, Mendez, Councillor...
DeSantis.
There you go. DeSantis, I'm sorry. Councillor, Sophie Ramsey, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Corrin Kessidge, Councillor... Yeah, come on, give me help.
Madeley.
And also, last off, Councillor Bushy.
Did he say turn off?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Grand job. Item number 16, Councillors' Questions Without Notice. Councillor Ramsey.
Through Mr. Mayor, we can include in the officer's report both the name and the address of the applicant. Those details appear on the application form as part of the application, so it's public. Generally, we haven't gone that far because it's generally hasn't been considered to be relevant, and you might even argue that the applicant's name is not all that relevant as well. But if council so choose, we can include that information. Mr. Mayor, we can do that. I would just ask the question, is it relevant? And I think the answer to that is no, in my professional opinion, but if that's the directive of council, we'll do it.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I have one question to Mr. Shannon. Have we received any response from Vic Roads in regards to our request for safety barriers on Vineyard Road next to the Children's Centre and next to the Medical Centre?
Through Mr. Mayor, Council recently resolved to write to Vic Road seeking some protection at the location Councillor Carley identifies. To my knowledge, we have not received a response. That's something we will follow up with Vic Road to ensure that we get a more timely response and hopefully some action. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Councillor Ramsey.
When that was removed or hived off from the future cemetery site.
Is your microphone on, Councillor Ramsey? That's better.
Thank you. Do I have to say that all again?
No.
When that site was hived off from the bigger bit for the future cemetery trust, was there a permit for a place of worship granted around that same time? And if there was, what sort of place of worship was it?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, to my knowledge, there was no permit. The period you're talking about, Councillor Ramsey, dates back to the mid-1980s, and to my knowledge, there was no permit at that time. There was subsequently a permit endorsed by council some 5, 6, 7 years ago for another place of worship at that location, a different denomination, and of course the religion's irrelevant.
What was the denomination, out of curiosity?
I don't know, Mr. Mayor. It was a place of worship, which is really... But the details will no doubt be on the file, so if you wish to seek further particulars, we can provide those. I just recall it being a place of worship, which is really the
Thank
consideration.
You,
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any other councillor have a question without notice? Motions without notice.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I have a motion without notice.
Councillor Medley.
That council officers report on any savings identified to date on the City Vista Sports Project and costings for items previously removed from the specifications during the value management process, with recommendations on what, if any, elements could be reinstated to the project.
Thank you, Councillor Medley. Does any other councillor have a motion without notice?
Yes,
Councillor Ramsey.
Could council please investigate a speed hump near the vicinity of 54 Westlakes Drive, that's to put in a speed hump near that vicinity, to deter human behaviour?
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Does any other councillor have a motion without notice? Thank you. Urgent business. Okay, number 19.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move a procedural motion that pursuant to section 89/2 of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated, 19.1, 19.2, 19.3 inclusive.
Thank you, Councillor Middle. Do you have a seconder for that motion? Councillor Carley?
I'll second that. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Medley, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Ladies and gentlemen, please feel free to help yourself to some refreshments. We now go into confidential business.
Spare what you know. Very good.